This morning's public reading from God's Word was taken from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 to the end of the chapter. So may I invite you to get your Bibles and join with us and turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 17. Matter of fact, I'm going to focus my attention on verses 17 to 21. Why, you might ask? For a simple reason, that when I read these once again and make a few comments, I believe this forms an internal commentary or an internal reasoning or the purpose behind the book of Proverbs. Okay, let's see if we can establish that. Notice the call. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Well, the opening chapters of the book of Proverbs and other places within the book of Proverbs, especially everything before, I believe, chapter 10, you have Solomon talking to his son, a future king, Rehoboam. Then there are times where the verbiage is basically saying that Solomon is addressing all of his children. So you can either take it that he was addressing the next king in line or talking to his kids, generally speaking. Either way, does no violence to our understanding. But here, the writer of the Proverbs is admonishing not only his children, but you and I, to bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. So this is a call to pay attention. And in the book of Proverbs, all you find are truisms that Solomon is trying to captivate our attention. He wants to draw us into the book of Proverbs. He wants to draw us into what he has given. And apply thy heart unto my knowledge. So notice that there's two parts to this command or admonishment. Excuse me. On the one part, there is the hearing and the receiving. The second part is the more difficult, and that is the what? Putting into practice what you've been given. Bow down thine ear and hear my words. So here's Solomon looking at his children, or here's Solomon right now speaking to us right now in the 21st century, though he's been dead for a long time. And he reaches out beyond time and says to us today, I want you to bow down and give heed to this book, much of which I have written. Not only that, I want you now to put into practice these truisms that I give you. Okay? But then he doesn't stop there. I think he goes further in verses 18 to 21 to show the positive benefits of bowing down and paying attention and then putting it into practice. Watch. For it is a pleasant thing. Now, a lot of people look at learning as a struggle, a pain in the back, time-consuming, a waste of time, boring, laborious. But here, if we apply ourselves to biblical wisdom, see, Solomon here is not talking about learning 1 + 1 = 2 or that the fact that the moon is laced with craters. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about biblical wisdom, the stuff that leads to salvation and the stuff that leads to a happy, fulfilled life if we're willing to follow God's dictates. For it is a pleasant thing, circle or underline, if. So there's the condition that harkens back to that verse 17. If thou keep them within thee. Now, what is so important about those words? Well, a lot of people learn by just simply listening, and that knowledge goes no deeper than the outer ear. It's like a bat flying in a cave, and his sonar picks up that there's a wall there. It bounces back. A lot of people today, those who even sit in churches, they may sit under a good preacher, or they may be blessed with a really knowledgeable, caring Sunday school teacher. And they'll sit for 45 minutes or an hour and just kill time. They never benefit because they do not see what they're being given as a pleasant thing. It's not something that's to be relished. It's not something to be receptive to. It's not something that their appetite really wants to sink their spiritual teeth and their spiritual utensils in this meal that is given to them from the pulpit or in the Sunday school class. For it is a pleasant thing, notice, if thou keep them within thee. So notice that true religion, biblical religion, and I use those words not, you know, but there's no apology. But if you're going to have biblical understanding, beloved, it has to be something from the heart. Heart religion versus external, formal, dead, lifeless formalities that many churches today go through. They go through a ceremony, they go through a ritual, they have this little menu that tells you when to sit, bow, stand, genuflect, make the sign of the cross, whatever. Beloved, that's not worship. That's mechanical. That's external. True religion emanates from within. Within a man. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So, see, this is wisdom that's not wasted. Because now the wisdom that you receive, that you're willing to receive as something good and pleasurable, now becomes part of your inner being. And what happens then? It becomes what you confess. It utters from your lips. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. If you do receive biblical instruction and biblical wisdom, if it is pleasant, if it is something that you relish and you enjoy feasting upon, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Then you in turn will then be able to teach others also. That thy trust may be in the Lord. Well, that's even a better consequence of bowing down one's ear in receiving God's word as something pleasurable, something that is to be received with joy, and not like going to the dentist without the painkiller. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. So I see verses 17, and as we're continuing in this little exposition here, I see this as an inner commentary, almost like a kind of a wake-up call as we're traversing through the book. Solomon wants to grab our attention once again to focus our attention on the purpose of the book. Because as we're reading chapter after chapter, line after line, maybe in all that reading and in all that journeying through the book, we lose sight of the book's purpose. And so I see kind of Solomon. It's almost like he has a roadside stop. You ever travel down a highway and there's a beautiful scenic area and they got that little exit that you can kind of exit off, get out of your car and just look at the vista, just look at the view. It's beautiful. Maybe a beautiful canyon, or a beautiful mountainside, or a forest, or maybe a snow-covered field. Just beautiful, breathtaking. I think that's what we find here. We get a roadside stop, where Solomon wants us not to forget the purpose of his book. It's not just to amuse us with his truisms, but there's a stated reason and a purpose. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel, in knowledge? Well, he's pointing to the book right now that we've been reading over for the past months or so. Have not I written to thee? Notice, excellent things. Verse 18 says, for it is a pleasant thing. So whether it's the book of Proverbs, or whether it's the book of Genesis, or whether it's the book of Jude, or whether it's the book of Ruth, or the book of Esther, or the book of 1 and 2 Peter, all of God's word should be received as something pleasurable. And it ought to be received as things written to us of excellent counsel and knowledge. Now, if you take all this to heart, can I add another thing to all of this mix here this morning? If you take these words to heart, this little roadside stop on our journey through the book of Proverbs, because we're not done with the book of Proverbs by no stretch. There's more chapters we have to read in the months ahead. It's going to sharpen your worldview. And by sharpening your worldview, you're going to come in more conflict with the carnal-minded worldview. The worldview that right now is in charge of the world. The prince and the power of the air, who superintends over this worldly view versus a biblical worldview. Finally, that I might make known to thee the certainty of the words of truth. See, there are a lot of people who don't believe the Bible to be the Word of God. There are those who claim to be Christians, and there's certain portions of the Bible they don't believe. They call it a myth or a fairy tale. Unfortunately, we get those kind of peoples in our Bible colleges and our seminaries and behind pulpits teaching the same trash. The book of Proverbs was written, as well as the rest of the Bible, but we're looking at the book of Proverbs because that's where we're at. That I might make known to that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So there we see the apologetic aspect. What does the New Testament tell us? Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. That's in Peter. Well, beloved, how can you give a reason? How can you give a justified apologia or an apology? Not because you feel sad and sorry, but a defense. The word apology means defense. Can you defend what you believe? Can you defend your faith in Christ reasonably, logically, and scripturally? So there, beloved, I leave to you the roadside view of the book of Proverbs. We got this little momentary stop in this book where Solomon wants us to stop, look, listen, and then reevaluate. What is the purpose behind this book? And for that matter, what is the reason behind the entire Bible? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. To give you the ability to articulate what you believe and why to a lost and darkened world. Well, may God choose to bless His word.